All right, folks, I think we might finish John chapter 1 today, so pray for me that I get through it. This has been a fascinating chapter and a fascinating study, and I'll be honest with you, I'm really enjoying it. We try to do this maybe every 3 to 4 years. I will pick one of the Gospels and we'll preach through it or teach through it, sometimes in Sunday school, sometimes on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night. I think a couple years, maybe 3 years ago, we went through the book of Matthew and told everybody I'm going to try to do a chapter a week. But this is so helpful for us because there's something about walking with Jesus, following Jesus, listening to Jesus. I believe the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. And if that's not what it is, then somebody explain to me what this whole thing is all about. And so when we think of the question, you think of the book In His Steps and the question, what would Jesus do? And that book made that popular, that question. And by the way, a great book. I recommend it. I've read it several times. I took the book and put it into a play, rewrote it into a play format, and our Christian school put it on years ago. So I love the story. But when I hear somebody say, what would Jesus do? I say sometimes, maybe a better starting place is, what did Jesus do? Because if you study what he did do, you're probably going to know what he would do. And so that's what the Gospels do to help us as we follow Christ to try to be like him. Now, I'm kind of taking 5 disciples here. And again, I'm probably not going to stop every time a disciple's mentioned after this and go into any kind of an in-depth study on him in particular. But this is kind of interesting because here at the very end of the very first chapter of John, we see that he recruits 5 different disciples. We have Andrew and an unnamed disciple, which may have been John. I'm not sure about that. And then Andrew goes and gets Peter. We studied Andrew in depth quite a bit. We'll take a quick look at Peter. And then Philip, Jesus goes and finds him, the Bible says, and invites him to be a disciple. Just spoke 2 words to him, follow me. Follow me. And then Nathaniel, we're going to stop and look at a little bit deeper. Nathaniel's a skeptic. Have you ever run into somebody that's a skeptic? You ever run into somebody that just, you know, I'm not going to believe it till I see it, questions everything, you know? I think it'll be interesting because it's very, I think, fascinating that Jesus recruited such a wide range of personalities. You know, and, you know, I think God not only made each and every one of us, I think he gave each and every one of us a unique personality. And I think the church is stronger and better when we have a variety of personalities. You know, you may connect better with a certain person because of their personality and maybe not as strongly with somebody else. But, you know, let's love everybody. Let's do that, okay? But I think different personalities God uses in different ways. Many of us sitting here watching Brother Gordon come in a few minutes ago and doing Black Bart, I would say I couldn't pull that off in a million years, nor would I even want to try to pull that off in a million years. And so, you know what, but that's okay because all of the different varied ministries needs different types of personalities and people with different gifts. And so we're going to see a variety of people. You've got Andrew that committed to be a disciple of John first, and then later on he became a disciple of Jesus, and then he goes and gets Peter, and we're going to kind of walk down through here. But here Andrew's somebody I think accepted the truth very easily. I think he exercised a faith very easily, put his faith in John and what he said, and then transferred that faith to Jesus. And so you get a very teachable person, and then you get Nathaniel, we'll introduce you to, and his first comment is, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? We found the Messiah, Jesus, Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's pray, and then we'll read some scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you can use a variety of different people, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that the goal is not for all of us to be the same, The goal is for all of us to be who we are, who you made us to be, but just filled with the Spirit. And Lord, may Christ's likeness be found in each of us. Help us, Lord, at the end of this lesson to desire and want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll lead the young people in the song probably every night this week. I have decided to follow Jesus. And no turning back, no turning back. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just help us to make that commitment. These men were unusual men and used in an unusual way. But it all started with the decision. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin reading verse number 40. Of course, we focused on Andrew from verse 35 to verse 39. And then verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Well, I would just underline that little phrase. We'll talk about it this morning in our morning service. We're given sage advice for new converts. And the last one that I'll cover this morning is bring somebody else to Jesus. You know, what advice would you give new converts? Hey, I'm sure glad you're saved. Now go find somebody else and bring them to Jesus. And that's exactly what Andrew did there. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus said, saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. What an interesting thing for Jesus to say to him. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So these five men are the first disciples that we're introduced to in the book of John. Andrew, we've already looked at. And I'm going to give you a kind of a different method that Jesus used in recruiting each and every one of these. Andrew, as we studied already, in verse number 37, and the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now we know that they were disciples of John. I've already gone into that. I'm not going to go deep into it again. And I said, you know, a lot of us in our early Christian life was influenced greatly by a preacher or a church member or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. And, you know, maybe we started our Christian life being more of a disciple of them than of Jesus. And that's not wrong, but it is wrong for that not to eventually be transferred to Jesus Christ. And so they became a disciple of John. And then when Jesus came on the scene, that was transferred to Jesus. And then Jesus used a question for Andrew. And we talked about this. Jesus turned and saw them following, verse 38, and saith unto them, what seek ye? So John and this other unnamed disciple. And we mentioned that. I think it's a great question. I think when somebody comes to Christ, I think as a new convert, you know, sometimes I want to just kind of sit down. This may be a great first question to present to a new convert is, you know, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? And we studied how there were a lot of people in Jesus' ministry that followed him simply because of the miracles he performed or the fact that he fed them. And they were looking for what he could do. They were following him because of what they could get instead of following him because of who he was. And I think, again, I think people come sometimes to the church and they do so because they have needs, and that's all great, and we want to see if we can meet those needs. But the honest truth, if you're only coming because I need this, or I need this, or I need this, or I need this, and the minute that, you know, the church says, you know, we can't supply everything, and then they're gone, well, you know, are you looking for what you can get, or are you looking for him? Because a disciple should be interested, and this is the great answer, Rabbi, which is to say, be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And so here's two people that's not following Jesus for what they could get from him. They followed him because they wanted to be with him. And so that Andrew was recruited, if you'll let me say this, with a question, a good question for all of us. And then Peter, let me talk a little bit about Peter here. We're going to work down to all five of these. So we have Andrew and the unnamed disciple. And Jesus used a question here. Now, verse number 40, he says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. We already taught about that and the importance of doing that in the mission fields, the people in our life, starting with our family that we ought to try to reach. And saith unto them, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, it's very interesting. The first thing that Jesus says to each of these disciples, I think, are interesting. He asks Andrew and this unnamed disciple a question. He makes a statement to Peter. He says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted, a stone. And so then we have this interaction with Peter. And so, again, I want to picture this best I can. I love to imagine this interaction. Andrew, what seek ye? Where are you dwelling? Where do you dwell? Come and see. Spend an entire day, the rest of the day with Jesus. At the end of that time with Jesus, absolutely convinced, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. Amen. I'm going to go get my brother. So he gets Peter. Now, folks, Peter, that's a whole study. How about that? You know, you talk about different personality types. And so Peter, Jesus makes a statement to him. He literally renames him the minute that he meets him. But he doesn't give it to him. Look at that statement again. He said this. He said, let me see here. All right, verse 42. And he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. By the way, the word Simon there, I'm always interested in definitions of name. What does a name mean? And the word Simon means a hearer or hearing or a listener. And Peter was a listener. And listen, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, that's a good starting place. Amen. And so he's curious. He's a listener. He's a hearer. Okay. And he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. And by the way, the interpretation is given to us. It means a rock or a stone. And so I think he was saying to Peter, Peter, right now you're a listener. You're collecting information. Peter was very reactionary. I think he's the kind of person at this stage in his life that listened to this person and was swayed by it. Listened to this person and swayed by it. Listened to this person and was swayed by it. Listen to this person, swayed by it. He would have been described maybe in the New Testament as that one that is blown around with every wind of doctrine. He kind of believes the last thing he heard, and he's easily influenced. Now think about that. Jesus said, you're a hearer and a listener. By the way, that's not a bad thing necessarily. I think, you know what, we ought to listen. We ought to hear. We ought to consider things. We ought to learn everything that we can that's healthy and holy. But you know what, if we're not careful, we're open to everything and never settle on anything. And you know what he said? He said, you need to be a rock. If you'll follow me, I'll turn you into a rock. Okay, you won't be that person that's just swayed by everything everybody says. You know what? You're going to be solid, steadfast. Come on, I think about that, my dad's life verse here. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Peter was. He was kind of like reacted according to his emotions a lot and was, you know, it seems like up here or down here and first to speak up and first in line, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it wasn't so good. But you know, when you follow Jesus Christ, he can take somebody that's kind of going in 15 different directions, and he can take that person and focus them on a cause worth living for. Okay, and some of you look back in your Christian life and say, you know, for quite a while, maybe early on before you were saved, you were seeking and you were listening to a lot of different things. And after you were saved, you were seeking, I want the truth. Where am I going to find the truth? And sometimes, you know, you were swayed by this person or listened to this person or heard this person on the TV or the radio, and then something didn't quite line up with the Bible, and then you get into a Bible preaching church, and you know, one of the things a Bible preaching church does, it takes all of that and just focuses it in and says, let me tell you what, let's look at what this book is really about and who it's about, and let's follow him. Okay, and so he uses this statement. He says, this is who, now think about this, because you know, it's really hard for me. I try to imagine everything. The one thing I can't get there, maybe you do, and I'm not saying it's bad, but when I'm picturing, like, I can picture Peter in my mind. I know what he looks like in my mind, okay? I don't really know what he looks like, but I got a picture of Brother Jared. And I can do that with every disciple, but I can't do that with Jesus. I just struggle doing that. But I think of Peter. And Andrew brings him, now folks, sometimes we just read these stories and we don't think about it. So here's Andrew bringing Peter, and you don't think God didn't specifically prepare Peter for this moment? Peter was going to be key, folks, in the book of Acts. He was going to be in the forefront. He's going to be in the inner circle. And so God created him with this curiosity. And so now he comes and he finds the truth. Come on, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he looks at them and he says, basically, Peter, this is who you are. Now, but notice what it says again. He said, thou shalt be called, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Now notice this, thou shalt be called Cephas. Thou shalt be called Cephas. He didn't say, like, I'm giving you that name right now. Now, later on, we're going to see that he gives him the name. But he said, thou shalt be called Cephas. Just giving him a goal. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, when we come to Christ and we want to be one of his disciples, every one of us has to listen to Christ. And he says, this is who you are, but this is who I want you to become. He literally renames him. Okay? And so I think when we come to Christ, there ought to be a hunger and a desire, now think about this, to be something we're not. Amen. To let him make us something we're not yet. Okay? I don't know what name, you know, we can all say, well, I don't know what my name means. It doesn't matter what your name means. Come up with some character traits. Okay, this is who I was when Jesus found me. And all of those things, some of those may be good and some of them may not be very flattering. But this is who he wants me to be. This is who he's going to make me into. If you think about it, he does this later on to four fishermen, where he comes to them and he says, you know what, follow me and I will make you to become, think about that, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So he said, now you're fishers of fish. That's who you are. Now, if you'll follow me, I'm going to make you become fishers of men. So this is where you are at, and this is what I'm going to make you into if you'll follow me. If you'll follow me. I think every one of us can look back and say, preacher, man, that the day I got saved, before I was saved and the day I got saved, this is who I was. And by the way, folks, that should not be, if you've been saved very long, who you still are. Okay? God saved us to change us. God saved us to transform us. And that transformation doesn't happen the moment that we get saved. That transformation is something that God does over a period of time. So here comes Peter in all his personality. I mean, made of God, so many good things about Peter, so many things that you read about in the Bible. Come on, we've all seen it where we're like, ah, you know, you know, first to jump up, first to speak up, sometimes doesn't say the right thing, sometimes doesn't do the right thing. But you know what? He's teachable, he's a listener, he's a hearer, and he wants to please the Lord. And God says, this is who you are, but this is who I'm going to turn you into. And, you know, I think of who Jerry Ross was, not just when I got saved, I was saved very young, but who I was in my youth and all of my different qualities, some good, some not great, okay? And yet God comes and says, if you'll follow me, I can take all of that and I can turn it into something else. Listen, I guess the point here when it comes to Peter is, Brother Jack, I just see Peter looking in the eyes of Jesus and he says, I know who you are and what you are, but if you'll follow me, this is who you can be. And that appealed to Peter. I think from that moment on, it wasn't a question, what seekest thou? It was, Peter, I know who you are and this is who you are. If you'll follow me, this is what you can be. And I think each and every one of us, I think there's a desire. I think down deep in every person, in their hearts, in their heart, we long to be more for God than we are. Okay, that ought to be there. I don't, you know, kind of understand when people get to a point where it's like, okay, I'm saved, but this is who I am, and everybody else just needs to learn to deal with it because I'm not changing. That's not why God saved us. You know, so I love reading this. You know, I got a text here. I may mention it in this class. I can't remember. But I got a text from one of our new converts that's been coming. And she'll be in the service this morning. But she texts me. And this is what her text. I looked it back up to make sure I got it right. She said this. She's just been saved. Pastor, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Isn't that great? You know what? I think there's a little bit of Simon in her. She's a listener. She's a hearer. You know, I mean, folks, you think about it. One of the tracks, and I grabbed a couple on purpose, but one of the tracks in our track rack that I think is really effective is one that says, why am I here? Let me tell you the question I'm getting a lot from the younger generation. Okay, you know, they're born into this world. They got this future. There's something to, they got this idea of what life is going to be. And so they go through their high school years and then they develop goals and they think, I want to be this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And they chase those dreams and they either don't achieve all of them or they achieve all of them. And then they hit about late 20s, 30s and they're like, okay, like, is this it? I mean, okay, I got this, check this box, check this box, check this box, check this box. Okay, so now I'm in my middle 30s. I'm about the halfway point of life. I mean, that is the age where a lot of people are starting to say, okay, Pastor, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? And I was able to send her a lengthy text just explaining and answering that question for her. And she's coming to church. You know, listen, why are we here? God created us. That's why you're here. Because your Creator formed you and wanted you here. Because he wanted to save you. It starts with salvation. But then, folks, he's got a purpose and purposes that he wants each and every one of us to accomplish for him. This is what we are. This is what he wants us to be. All right, I've got to move on if I'm going to finish this. Look at Philip. Now, Philip, there's just one verse here, John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, think about that. Besides the following verse where it talks about what city he went to and the fact that he's the one that goes and gets Nathanael, that's pretty much it. So now the first two, they were followers of John the Baptist. And then you know what? John said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. What seekest thou? We want you. Well, come on. Come on. Amen. We just want to be with you. Well, then come on. And then we have Peter, where he just looks Peter in the eye. I got this picture the best I can of Jesus just looking him in the eye and just saying, Peter, this is who you are, but this is what you can become. You know, follow me. Now, think about this. Andrew and the unnamed disciple, John the Baptist, pointed him to Jesus. Think about this. Then Andrew goes and gets Peter and brings him to Jesus. Isn't this a neat difference right here in Philip? Because you know what? The Bible says the day following, Jesus goes forth to Galilee and findeth Philip and saith to him, follow me. You know, folks, God brings people to himself in a lot of different ways. But you know, not everybody's got a brother that's going to bring him to Christ. Not everybody's got a friend that's going to bring him to Christ. You know, I just love this. Luke 19:10. I know we say it all the time. But the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not just to save us. He's willing to seek us out. And, you say, no, preacher, that's not how it worked when I got saved. You know, I sought the Lord. Then I finally found him. Well, that's not true. And let me tell you why it's not true. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Listen, folks, God is the one that does the seeking. God is the one that does the drawing to himself. If it wasn't for God's working in your life, you wouldn't have been looking. You wouldn't have been seeking. Jesus is willing to go out and seek those that doesn't have anybody else to bring them to Christ. No family members. No saved friends, and yet it's amazing how many times God finds a way to get the gospel to them. And I thought, Philip, how special Philip must have felt, because here's Jesus basically just going about his ministry, and people are being brought to him, but all of a sudden he gets up one morning, and he says, I got to go to Galilee. And he goes to Galilee and seeks out Philip, and he says, you know what, follow me. And so every saved child of God, listen, think about this. Every saved child of God has a story. You know, think about Philip giving his testimony later on. You know, every single one of us have a story. Okay, I got up Friday morning and got on a plane and flew down to Orlando, Florida, and preached I was just there a few hours, preached a youth rally Friday night. Got back up Saturday morning, got on a plane. Let me tell you something. Never fly to Orlando, Florida the first week of June, okay? Or any time during the summer. You know why? Mouseketeers. I got to the airport on Saturday morning, and I'm always like the guys like, oh, it only takes so long to drive to the airport, and you only have to be here this early. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be there 2 hours early. I was so thankful I was there 2 hours early. Everybody's on vacation. Everybody wanted to go down and see Mickey Mouse. Okay, and so I get on there on a Saturday morning trying to catch my flight, and I mean the place is chaos. Every place I go, there's a long line. Thank God I didn't have to check bag. I was just going overnight, so I threw everything in a backpack, so I didn't have to check a bag and didn't have to go through that line. And I'm trying to get to my gate, and you know what? By the time I left that airport, I hate Mickey Mouse. I hate Donald Duck. Brother Dan, I don't mind little children running around with, you know, musketeer ears, okay? I get it. The wives... all right, if you're a grown woman and you want to wear mouseketeer ears, I can deal with that, I guess. Okay, kind of cute. Men, I just wanted to punch them in the throat when I see grown men running around with Mickey Mouse ears all over the... I'm serious. I'm just like, okay, Lord, help me to keep my Christianity and my testimony, you know. And so when I flew down there on Friday, I didn't mean to go there. When I flew down there on Friday... this 21-year-old young man who's the grandson of the pastor of the church picks me up in the church van. And so I get in, and his name is Eddie, And I said, hey, Eddie. I said, what's your name? And he said, Eddie Riggs. And I said, man, it's nice to meet you. I said, all right, how old are you? 21 years old. Looks like he was 16. Everybody looks so young anymore. 21 years old. He said, I've been married a year. And I said, all right, tell me your story, man. 21 years you've been on this planet. Tell me your story. Hey, you know, folks, everybody's got a story. Everybody that saves got a testimony. You think of the different stories and testimonies, because I believe it wasn't just the Apostle Paul that used his testimony, you know what, in the book of Acts. We only have his recorded that he used his testimony. You don't think these men used their testimony? Can you imagine, you know what, the difference between Andrew's testimony, how he came to Christ, and Peter's testimony? You know what, my brother was, I think, kind of religious, and I thought he'd kind of gone off the deep end on some of this, and he became a big follower of John the Baptist, but then John pointed him to Jesus, and then he came and got me, and when I went to Jesus, Jesus looked me in the eye and said, this is what you are, but this is what you could be. I mean, can you imagine Peter using that testimony when he's preaching? Can you imagine Philip saying, you know, some of the other disciples, I've heard their testimony, and they had a brother, they had a friend that brought them to Christ, but let me tell you something, I didn't have anybody in my life to be that person. You know what? Jesus came to me. Amen. He came to me and he found me. I mean, this gives me goosebumps. Listen, you've got a testimony too. You've got a story too. Brother Val, when I went to Alaska, you know, I mentioned in that book that every meal I'd sit at a different table, one of those round tables, and you know what I'd do? I'd sit there. And I think one of the best questions you can ask Christian people is, so tell me about yourself. What's your story? How'd you end up in a place like this? Are you saved? Yep. Tell me about it. How'd you end up here? And to listen to the different ways that God has used to get the gospel to them or get them under the right influence, sometimes a family member, sometimes the prayers of a grandma, sometimes one of their children got saved and then started working on. Listen, you've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. And you know what Philip's testimony was? Jesus came and found me. Now, I'm supposed to take, 5 minutes to do Nathaniel? We may have to spend more than that on Nathaniel because there's an entire teaching here of how to reach a skeptic, okay? And I don't mind skeptics. Some people get annoyed with them. They're just another personality type that God created. By the way, in every personality type, there's weaknesses and there's strengths, okay? He was one of these guys that says, I'm not going to believe it just because you're telling me. Hey, we found Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Wait, time out. Have you been there? Have you been to Nazareth? Because I've been to Nazareth. There's no good thing coming out of Nazareth. And he's just skeptical. So I think what I'm going to do is close it down because I don't want to rush through this. I thought we were going to get to the end of John. I'm trying. But I want you to understand this because I think that more and more, because of humanistic teaching, it's kind of being placed into the last two or three generations. There really is this kind of, if you can't prove it, if I can't see it, then I don't believe it. And that is kind of really strong in our society today. And they've been taught that. You know, follow the science. You got to follow the science. You got to follow the science, you know. So in other words, if you can't show me in a laboratory, you can't prove it, you don't have the facts, I can't see it with my own eyes, then I'm not going to believe it. So I think I'll save that. We'll study that next week. Lord willing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his example. And Lord, just as Jesus used different techniques to be able to reach into the hearts of different people, Lord, if the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, Lord, help us to understand that there's different personality types and there's different ways to reach people and there's different ways to disciple people and there's different ways to challenge people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have more of an understanding. And of course, Jesus being God, the Creator, understood his creation and he understood how each man was made. And if we would take the time to learn from Jesus how he dealt with different types of people, I think maybe we could be more successful and bringing people to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.